Okay, so we're beginning the sugyas pertaining to Kibud Avim. That should keep us busy for a little while. So we're going in order of the Gemara. If we were going in order of the topic, so we wouldn't necessarily go in this direction. But we're going in order of the way the sugyas of the Gemara discusses first. So obviously, there's not a single topic that's going to come up in the Gemara that's not going to be relevant to all the other topics that come up in the Gemara. So it'll be less noticeable today, but it'll be more noticeable as we go. So what I would strongly recommend that everyone do is to try to, at the very least, learn the Gemara until the end, which is, I think, goes until Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Is that true? Yeah, I mean, more or less. Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. You know, the two dots over there. Okay, so if you get, the Gemaras read very quickly, and it's really very enjoyable Gemaras anyway, so not that they're not all enjoyable, but these are particularly enjoyable. You know, it's like when you get married. Everything, you know, you're allowed to have a favorite meal. Not that everything your wife makes is not terrific, but you're still allowed to have something that's your favorite. So so here also. So if you get a chance, you go through as much of the Gemaras as you can. Especially if we don't end up having shir tomorrow, so then you'll have extra time to fly through the Gemaras and stuff. So, okay, let's get started. Let's get started. So we start the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Amid Beis. Yeah. Fuhr Shlema for Rachman ben Eliza Chana. It must be.
Trying to save other people, but he's still alive. He's not doing well.
Okay, should have a Fuhr Shlema b'karov. So the Gemara on Lamed Amid Beis starts off with discussion of Tana Rabbanan Ish, Ein Li Ela Ish, Isha Minayin, Kishu Omer Tira'u, Harei Kan Shnayim, Im Kein, Ma Tamad Lomar Ish. So the Gemara says, Ish, or the Braisa for that matter, Sipek Biyado La Asos, Isha Ein Sipek Biyado La Asos, Vimnesha Rishus Acherim Aleha. So we say that a woman sometimes doesn't have the ability to fulfill the din of imo va'aviv tira'u, and therefore it says specifically ish to allude to this fact that since the wife might not be able, or the woman might not be able to fulfill her job or duties to her parents, so we specifically exclude her in the pasuk. So what does Rashi say over here? What does Rashi say over here? Sipek yachol she'ein moche biyado. Right? Ish has the ability to honor his parents. Why? Because no one will protest. No one's going to say anything about it. However, Isha sometimes lo sipek biyado the rishus acherim. Who's the acherim bala? So then the Gemara continues based on the Braisa. Amar Rav Idi Bar Oven, Amar Rav, Nizgarsha Shneim Shovim. But if she gets divorced, then they're both equal. So Rashi over here says, Nizgarsha Mi Ba'ala Harehi Ke'acheha B'mitzvas Kibbut. She goes back to being like a regular sibling when it comes to Kibbut Aveh, meaning her brothers never lost the responsibility of being mechabed their parents. She seemingly lost the responsibility, but when she gets divorced, she goes back to her regular daily routine of being mechabed her parents. Okay, so that's the Braisa and the Gemara we're going to work with today. So for starters, if you just had Rashi, what would you say is the reason she's potter from Kibud Avim in certain places? Yeah. Swing putter? Right. Ah, So according to Rashi, so what's the p'tur? What's the p'tur?
There's no p'tur.
There's no p'tur. Nothing. She's chayiv in every way. Ah, so that's a very interesting thing. Onus Rachmana Patre, right? So what's wrong with saying such a thing? There's already a pasuk in the Torah for Onus Rachmana Patre. So really, we learn nothing out of this pasuk. Okay, that's I'm saying it's not the Parsha Pshat in the Gemara. Certainly, the Gemara is telling us something. What? Right. And then Nisgarsha, when she gets divorced, Shneim Shovim. So let me read the Gemara according to your way of reading it for a second. And obviously I'm not going to read it the way you would like me to read it. The Nisgarsha, when she gets divorced, Shneim Shovim, she remains exactly the same as she was when she was married, just no one's going to yell at her. Nothing changed according to you. Why would you need a Gemara to say Nisgarsha Shneim Shovim? And you need someone to tell you that because Rav is telling you literally on a sunny day that the sun is shining. He's telling you nothing. But she was never potter. You're saying she was never potter. That's a havamina on earth? Saying if I was in Chobosh Beis Asurim, I was Chobosh Beis Asurim, I couldn't daven. Right. For that shechita, not for all future shechitas that I'm ever going to do. For that, you could argue that for this tzivui, the father calls her up and says, please take out the garbage. And he says that no, but that's the nimshol to what you're saying. You understand what I'm saying? It's the exact nimshol to what I'm saying. The father calls up and says, take out the garbage. Right? She says, sorry, my husband asked me to take out my garbage. I'm not going to do it. Then she gets divorced later that day. She calls up the father. She says, is that garbage still available for me to take out? And the father says, no. Right? It was all v'nidcha nidcha. That particular garbage, but you want to come over tomorrow and take out the garbage? That's a new garbage to be taken out. It's a new tzivui. Right. Right. She has the mitzvah. One second, the last part I didn't understand.
If it happened around the Rambam said when she after this one she's high, how can that be? Because she is chayiv.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean she's potter.
She's never potter. It's just a regular din in the Torah that doesn't need a limud at all.
The Torah has Ramazan Tasnachas and the Torah uses words that not halachic to teach you anything. It's just describing the meal. This one's describing that she's not quite as capable. She's not quite as capable.
Okay. Absher. You could say such a thing. But again, I wouldn't. So in other words, let me ask you a different question. So then why Rishus Acherim? Why Nizga? I mean, it just doesn't flow. The Gemara doesn't flow that way. The Gemara sounds like she has a change in status. So you're saying, but I'm saying the first part you're saying is, that's not a limud at all. That's just like a interesting statement of fact.
No, because in Tima Nachal Hashem Ish, why the Torah use such a funny word?
Right.
And use this word because it's more relevant to them. It's absolutely definitely applicable to both of them. Tiran, but you want to know why Joe's list over that? Because it's more shayach, it's more direct. But equal, it's equal. If the Gemara didn't give us a hadim in a maskan, it doesn't say anything like it. It just says, simple. You want to use this word, I'll tell you the lashon.
Yeah, and therefore, when the husband protests, so what's the status there?
So here is an obligation to override her parents. Okay, but if the husband won't be mochad, he'll be mochad. So then she won't be chad. If she's after lasos both of them, she's chad. If she's motivated to her parents, she's chad. The Rishon that are assuming these sort of things, they're assuming how this didn't disappear.
I never said her mitzvah disappeared. But l'maisa, there is a separate halachic status here that may very well be related to the din of kibud aveim or mora aveim. You're saying it's just a regular din in Kol Torah Kula of anybody with a gun to their head. Happens to me the husband doesn't need a gun.
Correct.
Okay, it's a shver of art. I just think it doesn't read in the Gemara. I understand what you're saying, but kolze is not the way you have to read the Gemara. You don't have to read Rashi that way. I think sometimes you have no choice.
I think you have to, but I think that's the road we've shown that in teaching you that she is chayiv in certain scenarios because she still has the same mitzvah.
Just because she's sometimes chayiv doesn't mean that there's no actual p'tur min ha-Torah.
So the p'tur you're talking about is when her husband, at the time, when her husband asks her,
all I was going to say was the Torah is only pottering her when her husband is dafka against what she's, you know, what she's being told.
Again, it's unnecessary because when she's nekarsha, of course there's no husband to talk about. So that the Torah doesn't exist. She was always born to, she was chayiv before she's married, she's chayiv when she's married. She has a Torah that when her husband asks her something and her parents ask her something, so you go with her husband over her parents, that's called a Torah. Now, she's not married. Do I have any halim in it that p'tur exists anymore? She doesn't have a husband. There's p'tur is irrelevant. Rav just teaching me the same thing that he doesn't. He's not trying to teach me such a thing. It's relevant to talk about kibbutz niftara. I mean, you fundamentally, her status changed. She was not a chayiv person. Then she becomes chayiv when she's in the garish. That I can understand. But that is not your tradit.
No, but what I'm saying is that then you can answer the question. But the question doesn't even get started if you say that there's nothing going on here.
Rav is sharing either tradit. The only way it's not as good is if you say that she was mamish potter. Nobody wants to say that though, because if you mamish says she's potter, so then when the husband's not being mocha, so then she's befalash.
I would agree with you that when the husband is not mocha, she's chayiv in the mitzvah.
How can that be? Is she a potter person, or is she not a potter person? If you tell me she's the etzem chayiv, she only has a potter at certain times. Like what's in this apartment? It's only shy when certain things kick in, but the essence, she's a high person. So then, what is Nagarsha? Why is that relevant? She is a high person before she's married. She's high when she's married. And the Petura call, when her husband tells her to stop listening to her parents and follow her with his wishes, so that Petura only exists when her husband's there. Now they get divorced. Does it make any sense? Asalka Dais doesn't make any sense, Ya Allah, that the husband, after divorce, asks her to do things. She should follow him?
No, not to follow the husband. Ain't a not to follow husband. All right, so I'll tell you what I think.
The Torah is irrelevant now, so the Nigarsha is share again. Why is Nigarsha chayv? Of course she's chayv in Nigarsha. She was chayv before she married. She's chayv when she was married. She's chayv after she married. The Torah is just irrelevant now. You don't have the Torah anymore. The Torah was when her husband asked her to do something, and her parents asked her to do something, to go to her husband. That's called a good Torah. But that Torah is no longer relevant. She doesn't fall in that scenario anymore. So Nigarsha is again chayv is share. You have to explain a little bit that when certain cases took her out of being able to do something like chafs and shemitzah, like the rule of, like we were talking about before, like the kisoy down. So now, you know, it became puzzle, the kisoy down got ruined, it's from the mitzvah, it's near again.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Let's see. Okay, so that's Rashi saying that she's only putter b'shas, or whatever you want to call it. She's only potter b'shas michas baila, only when her husband is moche, right? Only when the husband disagrees, perhaps, with the tzivui of the father, and therefore nizgarsha becomes difficult. Like Ike is saying, nizgarsha becomes difficult because nizgarsha mibaila Harehi ke'achel b'mitzvahs kibud. Right? She's back to the regular state of being. She's back to the regular state of being. The whole Rashi is strange. Nisgarsha mi baila? Right, I think this was before the concept of getting divorced from your parents. That's like a recent phenomenon in American law. You could be become divorced from your parents. So what was the hava mina that she's nisgarsha from anybody else? And then harehi ke'acheha b'mitzvahs kibud. She's like her brothers. What brothers? Let's say she didn't have any brothers. Saying what? The whole Rashi is hard to understand. So seemingly there's more going on in this Rashi than meets the eye. Just every nekuda of Rashi is difficult to decipher. So we'll have to work on this Rashi some more later. But for starters, let's go over to the Tosfos. So Tosfos is equally difficult to understand, but in a different way. It's Tosfos over here, Sheyesh Rishus Acherim Aleha. The afal gav de maisia de labalo midirabbonon ba'alma. Even though the statement that says that when she, let's say she has a side job, she makes a little bit of money, or the question how much money are we talking about already? So let's say she makes a little bit of money doing some part-time work, right? So then that money or whatever she creates goes to the husband, right? So that's only a din derabbanan. Right? That's only din derabbanan. And in fact, what's the rule about Maisi Adel? What's the rule with Maisi Adel? Right. Meaning if she thinks she's doing okay on her own, it's a takona dafka for her benefit. It's a takona for her benefit. So the whole thing, it doesn't even get started according to Tosfos. It's saying, Mele, you want to say Maisi Adel Abala, and that's why she's Rishus Acheres Aleha. She says, that's only Din Derabbanan. Mikol Makom Eina Mitsuya Eitzel Aviyah Ela Eitzel Bala. So Tosfos gives it teretz, and he says, she's not found near her parents, she's found near her husband. Also, so again, the question then becomes, what do I need any of this for? Why do I need the Torah to come along and tell me where I'm living? The whole thing is very difficult. So the Torah tells me I have a chiyuv to honor my parents, and then it answers, because it answers that only applies mostly to the husband, which apparently just means geography. The husband, apparently all husbands are a bunch of mama's boys and they live right next to their parents. And the women, they're not allowed to be mama's girls and they can't live, or daddy's little girl, whatever. They can't live near their parents. So that's the big limud here. So it certainly was common, I don't know, in the days of the Gemara it seemed common. Perhaps even in the days of Tosfos. But what Tosfos could be saying is, if that's Gufa the Metzias, then that's the din. But if that's not the Metzias, if the Metzias is the other way around, let's say in more nowadays, it's more common that even in Europe, certainly pre-World War I Europe, the father-in-law would sort of have the son-in-law move in with them and go into the family business or whatever it was more often than the other way around. So you would say just that. Then it would say that the husband would be less chayiv in kibud avim because he wouldn't be living near his parents, and the woman would be more chayiv in kibud avim because she would be living near her parents. So the whole Gemara doesn't even get started in that metzias. So is that what Tosfos means to say? That it's just a vort metzias? That since the metzias b'shas matan Torah was such, it's possible. You don't like to say such things though, if you can avoid it. I don't know. It's Tosfos is basically taking the Gemara and saying you can pretty much cross it out. You can pretty much cross it out. It's not doing us any good per se. right? Or it could at least make all kinds of footnotes and addendums to the Gemara as to when it would apply and when literally the opposite of the Gemara would apply. And the concept of Rishus Acheres Bo is very severe. Rishus Acheres Bo, what did the Rishus do for her? The Rishus Acheres Bo was the husband got to tell her where to live? That was the Rishus Acheres Bo? Who's the Rishus Acheres? Yeah?
This could just be bad based on my lack of TikTok, but like... is it possible to read that word like as a Shorshas Mitzvah as opposed to like Mitzvah?
Like, what?
Is it possible to read that the Shorshas word is actually Mitzvah? She's commanded. She's not commanded.
So where is the word Eitzel?
In regards to her father as opposed to being in regards to her husband. I mean, as opposed to in regards to her father, but rather in regards to her husband.
I don't think so.
To be by her husband, not to be by her father.
I mean, it's not what it says. Could be true, but it's possible. Anything's possible, but you have to sometimes read the words that are there. I don't know. Look in the Tosos HaRosh if he has a different text. And you see they have the Tosos HaRosh in the Gemara there? Some people have the fancy. Yeah, Ozohadar? Oh, so let me know what he says. Okay, let's look at the Marsha. So what did the Marsha say, guys? Right. So for starters, just the Gemara gets more difficult. I keep saying for starters. We've already started a few times. So the Gemara keeps getting more difficult. So you have Rashi's way to learn is difficult. Tosa's way to learn is difficult. It's just a difficult Gemara. So what's wrong with the Gemara according to the Marsha? You got the wrong mitzvah. You got the wrong mitzvah. Right. She's saying, I don't understand where the whole Gemara is getting started with Tosos is beer. Saying, you might think the reason she's shayach to her husband more than her father is because Maisi Adel Abala. What Maisi Adel? Maisi Adel is talking about what? Positive actions that she does. What positive actions involve Mora? What is Mora and what is Kibud? We did that part of the Gemara? No, not yet? All right, but you know it from Rashi on Chumash anyway. Right? So what's the answer? What's Kavod and what's Mora, guys? Right. Don't disrespect, right? We translate Kabeda Savicha Vesimecha, honor, respect. But it's not really the classic definitions of honor and respect. Really, Mora would be much more of respect and honor, and Kavod would be much more of service, right? Kibud Avayim means servicing your parents. Mora Avayim means honoring and respecting your parents, right? Kibud Avayim is help them out, take out the garbage. You know, if they need help, you should help them get dressed and help them, you know, go for walks and stuff like that. Maybe when they're elderly, right? Or Schechter always likes to say that even when his father was a very old man, of Elimelech Schechter was nifter past 90, I think. And so he said when he was younger, Schechter used to try to help him with certain things, and he would get very upset. He says, I'm not an invalid. What are you trying to do to me? He says, leave me alone. He says, no, it says, so he says, what, are you going to sit there and protest? It says in the Gemara, I have to do this. Right? No, it's only if he considers that hanav. Right? It says the mitzvah of kavod is to be mahane your parents in ways that they consider it hanav. If you could think of a different way that they consider it hanav, then you should do that. Right? If you can be mahane them in ways that are, you know, the Yerushalmi has a wild case. Yerushalmi has a wild case. I forgot who it was. One of the Tanoim had his mother used to do something pretty gross. She used to, every day, she was so proud that she had a son who was a Tana, that she used to wash his feet, and then after he would leave, she would drink the water. She would show that she was so kafuf to him for his greatness in Torah, she would actually drink the water. And then he found out what she was doing, and he refused to allow her to do it anymore. He said, that's not okay. You can't just do that. So she came, she followed him to the base medrash, and she said, I don't know why you're learning Torah from this bum. He doesn't even do kibbutz avim. So she said, what are you talking about? And she explained, and they told him, you got to let her do it. So even if your parents have a very strange definition of hana, as per the particular case, so you have to be mahana them. You have to give them what they consider to be hana. Now, Baruch Hashem, most parents have a normal definition of hana, so it's not something to worry about. But like when you're older, what's the ikar hana you could give your parents when you know you're out of the house? When you're in the house, you help out as much as possible. When you're out of the house, you bring the grandkids by. When you can. You can't live your whole life in your parents' house, your in-laws' house, but you bring the grandkids by as often as possible. You give them a lot of hana, you know, so you or something to that effect, right? You do what they consider to be hana. You don't have to give them, you know, foot water to drink. It's not, you know, it's not considered real hana for most people. Anyway, but the idea that the Marsha is working with here is, we're talking about Maisiya Deha, that's all about Kibbutz Avim. The Pasuk is by Mora Avim. So one thing you see for sure is that the Marsha is taking this drasha pretty seriously. Marsha is saying that this is some kind of real drasha here, and it's dafka learned by Mora Avim. And he's saying, and Tosas is asking, well, where in the Torah, what mechanism would make this work? If you say that women are really Rishus Acheret, Rishus Acherim Aleihem, so where's the Rishus Acherim? Where does it even come from? Right, Tosfos is basically asking, why, Taka, do women have to listen to their husbands over their parents? What's the Rishus Acherim? So Tosfos started off by saying, oh, Maisi Adel Abala. First, so Lu Yitzur, that was Doraisa. Tosfos claims they would have had a good explanation. Says the Marsha, you still wouldn't have had a good explanation because that's not what the Pasuk is talking about. The Pasuk is talking about Mora. You're talking about Kavod. So that's a very strong kasha against Tosfos. So if you got a chance to see the Netziv in the Merome Sada, so the Netziv has a teretz to this by basically, yes, says you have to explain the Tosfos Shalok Kipshuta. You have to explain what Tosfos is really talking about here. What does it mean when it says Maisi Adel Abala? What's the whole yisod of Maisi Adel Abala? What are we talking about here? Yeah? Right. Meaning when you, let's say you, you know, Lamashal, it's a bad mashal, you'll understand why, but it'll help illustrate the idea. Marshall, so you have a bully in school who takes your lunch money every day, right? He takes your lunch money. You think when your parents give you money for lunch, your parents think they're giving you money so you can eat lunch. But in reality, who are they giving the money to? They're giving the money to the bully so he can eat lunch, right? So whose money is it? So it's obviously your money and he's stealing it from you, right? But in his mind, he doesn't. If you pull over most bullies, I don't think they think they're such big rishonim. You know, they probably rationalize it in some way by saying, I don't know, he's my, you know, whatever. They use not nice words to describe such people. But he says, he's my guy. I own him. And therefore, by definition, what's his is mine. You know, what's his is mine because I'm in charge of him. He gets the, what's the reason you're in charge of him? I can punch him in the face and or I stick his head in the toilet or whatever, and that makes me in charge of him. And therefore, his money is really my money. But what's the ultimate raya for that? Look who's eating lunch every day. Your parents give him money and I end up with the lunch. So you need a better raya than that this guy really belongs to me? So you would think that if he belonged to himself, he could actually eat his own lunch. But he can't even eat his own lunch. I eat his lunch for him. Right, so you see clearly he's mine. Right, so the nimshol is not the mashal, right? Ain't a nidon dom l'raya, but nevertheless, the yisod is what's the raya that rishus acheres aleh? Meaning that there's a rishus acherim aleh that she works hard to do something, and yet in the end of the day, it doesn't even belong to her. It belongs to him. So what does that mean for us? It doesn't mean that. There's some technical din that when she works, it belongs to the husband, and therefore, if she would work, the father, you know, the any work she would do for the father would really belong to the husband. No, that's not the pshat. Because if that was the pshat, then in a chinami, you would have the marsha's kasha. The marsha's kasha stands. Right? What's the pashup shat in Tosos that the marsha was worried about? Right, but how's the marsha learning Tosos? How's the marsha learning Tosos? Marsha says Tosos is working very well. Because what's happening here? The father says, make me a cup of tea. So you go into your house, you pull out the hot water, you pull out the tea bag, and then you put it in, and you make the tea, and you're about to bring it to your father, and the husband says, I'll take that, thank you. So is he allowed to do that or not? And the answer is yes. Why? Because even though you made it, so you made the tea, but the tea belongs to him. So how could you give the father his tea? So that's the way Tosus is learning. And Tosa says, that's only no geya to service. That's only no geya to, that's only no geya to positive things that you do. That's not yira. That's not yira. It's not if the father says, I want you to be respectful to me, and the husband says, I want you to talk to your father disrespectfully. So then you go in there and he wants you to call him Abba, and you say, no, I always liked the name Pops, but my father never let me call him Pops. So you call him Pops from now on. No offense, Pops. But you call him Pops from now on. So then your father comes in and says, here's your tea, Pops. So he says, don't call me Pops, that's rude. Right? He says, no, my husband said I have to call you Pops. That would be the husband overriding the yira factor. Right? So that's what it's talking about. So that's nothing to do with Maisi Adela Bala. It's not Maisi Adela Bala, technical din in Kinyanim. You hear? So that's what the Marsha is asking. So the Merami Sada says, that's not what the Netziv is talking about, because Eina Chinami, you would be stuck with that Kasha. What's Maisi Adela Bala? Maisi Adela Bala is a mashal for whose Rishus you're in. When you can't even keep the stuff that you make, you're clearly not, quote-unquote, in charge of yourself. Someone else is, quote-unquote, in charge of you. So, says Tosfos, that's not a Dindo Raisa anyway. You can't prove from there... You can't prove from there that the wife is not in her own reshus, and that's the pshat in the pasuk. You hear? The pasuk wouldn't be telling you about a din derabanan. And therefore, you can't learn the pasuk as saying, ish imavav if tiro, ish is always in his own reshus, because he gets to keep his maisi adayim, and isha doesn't get to keep her maisi adayim, and therefore she's not in her own reshus. It's not true, because the rabbanan are the ones who made that takana. And if you wanted to take the thing further, you could say the woman is allowed to get out of that. The woman is always allowed to back out of that Maisi Adela Bala. She could say, I don't want that takanas chachamim. I don't want to get the luxury of being supported. Right? She gets Maisi Adela Tachas Mizonasel. Right? So a husband says, I promise to put three hot meals, you know, or at least the value of three hot meals on the table every single day, as long as you promise to give me all your Maisi Adayim. So then, by the way, these are not recipes for successful marriages. It's very important to keep that in mind. This is just the minimal, like if you have two people and they love only following the letter of the law, so this is the letter of the law. But this is not the way, you're right? When we learn Maseches Ksuvis, I remember my second year in Keren Biavne, one of my rabbeim said right off the bat, he says, you don't have a good marriage by following what it says in Maseches Ksuvis. Maseches Ksuvis is for like, if you want to have zero relationship, you just want to like follow the rules. So these are the rules. You know, but that's not I don't think Chazal ever envisioned people like Dafka living by these rules properly. You know, that they should Dafka follow all of these exact rules. But Lamaisa, these are the rules. So the woman is allowed to say, it's very nice that you want to give me mizonos, it's very nice that you want to give me food. I think I can do better on my own. I think I can keep all the money that I make. And she's starting up some big business. She thinks it's going to be very successful. So she says, heretofore, I'm keeping my own Maisi Adayim, and you keep your food, and I will provide food for myself. We're going to have, you know, separate financial accounts. There are such marriages, especially second marriages. Sometimes it's much less complicated that way. Sometimes when you have a second marriage and each one is bringing in their own money, so they make a deal on the outset to keep the finances separate. For whatever reason, there's two families to support. Sometimes it's better. You know, you have to, each case is different. But so the woman says, I'll take care of myself financially, you take care of yourself financially, and everything else will be husband and wife, but not for this. So is she allowed to say such a thing? So the Chacham say, yes, she's allowed to say such a thing, right? Right, let's learn. Yuchol Yishalomar, Eini Nizonis, Veini Osa. Why? Because if she betakaras Chachamim, could go and zoo Shomin Lo. If she says she doesn't want such a takaras Chachamim, you listen to her because the takaras Chachamim was made specifically for her benefit. Right. So the why they give the husband the Ma'aseh Yadayim? Really, the Iker takaras Chachamim was that the husband should give her food. So why did they give the husband the Ma'aseh Yadayim? Because he doesn't want to feel like he's getting nothing out of the deal. He wants to feel like he's getting something back. So what are you getting in return for your being forced to give food to your wife? So you're getting, if she makes something, you get to keep it. Right? But that's just so he'll feel better about the deal and he won't feel like he's getting ripped off. But Lemaisa, the takana was made for her benefit, not for his benefit, and therefore she's allowed to back out. So all of this, just Tosfos didn't say this, but it's just adding to Tosfos, is not more that she's in his reshus at all. That's what the Netziv says of Shat and Tosos. Yeah.
Yeah, how's
it benefiting her? She never has to wonder where her next meal is going to come from. Her husband is obligated to support her. It's very important to keep that in mind, both as husbands and as wives. Sometimes we flip it around and say the wife is mechuyev to support the husband. She's allowed to volunteer to do such a thing if she so chooses, but she should be told that that's not the way Chazal envisioned it, right? So, okay, it's important to know that. Anyway, getting back, yeah. See, he's saying that the yisod of Ma'aseh Yadayim would have been that's Megala that she's in his Rishus. It's like a binyanav for what's called being in someone else's Rishus.
So
she should be putter from everything because she's out of her father's Rishus and he's in her husband's Rishus. That's what it really meant, right? It's lav dafka a din of macho'ah in the classic sense that like every single thing she has to check with her father. So then Tosa says, nah, it's just a vart that she's not mitsuya eitzel avia ela eitzel bal. So then the question is, what's that? What's the shot there? Is part of the marriage contract that she has to live dafka in her husband's hometown or her father's hometown? Or where is she supposed to live? So let me just, you have the copy? I don't know. I don't think I brought it with me. Let me see if one sec. Let me just see it for one sec. So let's just get the Lashon. V'yishvu, I don't know how you read that word. They answered, D'mikol makom, b'veiz bala mechuyeves lio. She's mechuyev to be in her husband's house. Sharei mishubedes hi latash mishal ishus u'bazeh levad nogei lemore kama po'amim. So he says, she's mechuyev to live in her husband's house. Meaning, I'm going to add a little bit to what he said, but this could be his kavana, that part of the definition of ishus is that you move into your husband's house. He's machnis you into his rishus. Right? He's machnis you into his rishus. It's a new rishus. And like that's, some shitas, that's what the chuppah is. That's what nisuin is. Right? That's why I don't know who's makbid or who's not makbid, but the different. That's one of the things you get to find out nowadays. That mesadre kiddushin are more often than not rabbonim, but they're rosh yeshivas. So you get all kinds of great wild chumras based on the sugyas, not necessarily based on the halacha. So like sometimes there'll be makbid, different rabbonim will be makbid on different things. One of the things that many rabbonim are makbid on is that the chasson should be kone the chuppah. He should be the owner of the chuppah. Why? Because the chuppah constitutes a hachnasa l'rshus. So therefore, he's being machnas her into his rshus. And thus, so that's an informal or a formalized version of bringing her into his home. Right? So that's part of the chiyuv. So she's mechuyev to live in her husband's home. That's the definition of ishus. Now, the Netziv doesn't speak that out. He says, listen, they have to live together, quote-unquote, intimately as husband and wife, and by definition, that's sometimes going to fly in the face of what the father would want from her. And therefore, and therefore, by, there's always going to be certain times when she's potter from Mora in addition to Kavod. So just by way of the fact that she has this chiv to live with her husband as husband and wife, there are going to be cases where that's going to fly in the face of what her father would ask her to do under certain circumstances, and therefore sometimes she's going to be end up being out of the picture for what her father wants from her. Yeah.
It sounds like from the reasoning of the Rav Sada, even when he would be mochel on her obligations, that she would, in theory, be able to service her father, she would still be pater. Because now it's like she's no longer in the parsha of serving your parents. Now she's in another house. She's in the house of her husband now. She's in a new family. Almost.
Right. So it's not easy to tell from his words if he would agree with that. It's not out of the question. What he's saying is definitely not out of the question. It's hard to tell from his words. From the way I just said it over, it's much more mashmal like what you said. So I apologize if I was misleading. But I think that could be what he means. Meaning, if he's just saying, no, let's talk tachlis of what Tosfos really means. She's mitsuya etzela bailo versus etzela via. So what does that mean? So she's not going to be around, but it's just a question of geography. There's no actual patur. So the Maromi Sada says, no, what it means is, part of the definition of marriage is she lives with her husband as husband and wife. And sometimes that's going to be, that's something that her father is going to find irritating because he wants her around him. He wants her doing her, you know, her daughterly jobs and not her, you know, family jobs with her new family. Right? There's a lot of transition that goes on between losing your status as the daughter of the family and moving on, depending also, a lot of families that only have one daughter, so it's a big loss, you know. Especially my wife is the oldest. My wife wanted very much that our oldest should be a girl, because she felt that she had a min hashamayim, they owed it to her, right? So she said that she was the oldest, that she's one of four, and she has three younger brothers. So she was always very helpful around the house and helped with the raising of her brothers. Obviously, her mother did most of the work, but she was very helpful, and she felt that she thought it would be very nice if she could have an oldest daughter. All right, we had a boy instead, but all right, we'll live, you know, whatever. We just, as long as he knows that he wasn't wanted, that's all. So. Whatever. We have our two youngest that right now are girls. So it's a little bit not in the helpful order, but Baruch Hashem, they're all terrific. But anyway, we were in the parking lot in Bronx, and this is a long time ago already. We're in the parking lot in Bronx, and we had just loaded the car. We're about to get into the car and drive home, and my wife points to the car next door, and there's the mother is sitting in the driver's seat reading one of the Five Towns papers, and the girl, it must be a 12-year-old girl, was snapping all the car seats shut, and she's like, that was me. Like, that was me. She's like, that's why I wanted an oldest daughter. But she could have read the Five Towns Jewish Times. All right, what can we have to live without reading the Five Towns Jewish Times so much? But the... But it's a big transition for a family if you have a daughter who's very helpful around the house, and you know, her parents want, it's not going to be so posh. It's some guy shows up who they barely know, and all of a sudden the wife is saying, oh, sorry, I can't do all the things I used to do because now I'm with my husband. That's not so gishmak for the parents. They're not so interested in hearing that. They're happy their daughter is married. You know, listen, everybody wishes for things, and then they get what they wish for, and it's not so enjoyable. You know, obviously every parent, from the moment the child is born till you know it actually happens, they daven that the kids should have a zivug yafe and they should find a good shidduch. And especially for girls, it's very difficult in this world to find a good shidduch for a girl. And so they daven very hard that the girl should meet a nice boy, treats her well, supports her nicely. You know, and whatever. So it's not so easy. But then when you get it and you realize, but that also means you're giving her away. So it's not so push it all of a sudden to give away a daughter like that. It's difficult. So they call up the, you know, they call up the daughter. They say, we really could, you know, use you around the house this Sunday. And he said, no, my husband and I were taking the kids to the park or whatever. It's not, you know, so it's not so easy. It's not so easy to swallow that. So Tosfos could be saying that it means that the first and formal obligations is to be living in the new husband's house, not to be living in the parents' house to the same extent. So if that would be true, then you could read the Gemara very easily and say that it's talking about a change in Rishus. Then so that's pretty much what the Gemara seems to say. It's Rishus Acheres, but that overall the definition of Ishus is to be Eitzel Baila and not to be Eitzel Avia. Lav Dafko, where they used to live, what the Minig HaMakom was at a particular time. The Chiyuv is to be Mitsuya Eitzel Avia and not Mitsuya Eitzel Baila and not Mitsuya Eitzel Avia. And then Nisgarsha, then she's back to square one. So if you read Tosfos that way, so then that's very helpful to read the Gemara. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's what Tosfos said. That's not clear in the words of Tosfos Bechlal. Yeah.
I think the Pashas reading Gemara is more like Ike's reading. Like it says, since she's not able to. Why is she not able to? Because she's in somebody's rishus.
Right.
It's just. Happens to be because she's in someone's rishus. Incidentally, she's unable to help her.
But the question is then, why is that so? Meaning, so get out of his rishus. Meaning, say for these purposes, you have no right to tell me what to do. And kolzma that I'm able to do it. So then, meaning, a girl goes away to college. So she's in college, or she wants to make aliyah or whatever. So she's not chayiv and kibud aveim. She's 100%. The Torah is not going to tell you she's less chayiv and kibud aveim because she wanted to make aliyah. It's just that happens to be, we understand, when she's not around, the father can't say, can you come take out the garbage? You know, it's going to cost me like $3,000 to take out the garbage. I have to, so you say, no, the father says, I'll pay for it. I'll pay the money for the flight. You know, it's very expensive to book a flight that day. You know, so even if you could get a flight for cheaper, you're going to pay double to get the flight that day. So you're going to have to fly home, get a cab, take out the garbage, get a cab back. It's very expensive, you know, saying, okay, so the father says, I'll pay for it. Is she chayev to do it? Pasha says he's not chayev to do it. So that means that the Torah should make an exemption for anyone and everyone who's not around. So that's how you have to read it if you say that that's the pshat. So, okay, I'm not so willing to do that. Okay, but then you still have the difficulty. What does it mean after she gets divorced? So you saw the Ran and the Ritva; they both have a similar vort here. They both seem to say that there's this concept you might have thought that once you're already potter from a particular mitzvah, so you remain potter. Right? Once you're potter from a particular mitzvah, you remain potter. You already have it in the Ran, on your Gimel Amid Beis, in the Daf Bei Arif. Right. But, well, one second. I went too far. So you'd bays him and bays. You'd bays him and bays. Rishus acher melav baila nizgar shemi baila arei ki achia b'mitzvus kavod v'komash malan d'mishum d'niseis lo poka chiyuva mino. Right? So he adds to Rashi and he says, what's the whole komash malan? That the chiyuv was not removed from her. You might have thought that the chiyuv was removed from her, kamash malan, that it's not. Could say that.
By the way, or is suspended?
What? Right, right. So that's the way I was reading it was that you might think that since she was putter from certain, there's certain things that a woman who has a nisuin is automatically putter from even after the nisuin is broken. Mashenkin erusin, right? Let's say a woman is a nara murasa and her husband divorces her or dies. So what's her status now? She returns to her father's house, right? let's say her father's a Kohen. She goes back to being able to eat truma. She goes, she goes back to her father's house for inyan of Haforas Nadarim. So in that, under those circumstances, or she goes back to her father's house, was she ever out of it for Tumas Kohanim? Would her brother be able to go to her funeral? Would her brother have been able to go to, I think her brother would have been able to go to her funeral anyway, so it doesn't count. But if her brother was a Kohen, he could have gone to her funeral even after Erisin. So that doesn't count. Anyway, so sometimes we say that when she's an Arusa, she remains in the status of her father's house, but when she's in Nisua, she leaves her father's house. So don't think that that's the case over here. Don't think that she left the father's house for the purposes of Kibbut Aveim and she's never coming back. She's coming back. She's coming back. Once the Nisuan is broken, she returns and she's just like everybody else who never left in the first place. So that's one way you can understand it. So Ike wants to say no. It's that she. It's Kamash Malan that Kol's man that she was married, she never left. Okay. Yeah. Right. So they're definitely not in the Ritva. Definitely not in the Ritva. So I don't know if I was. I don't know how I would have read. I know how I would have read. I would have read it the way I said. But I was also influenced by a lot of other Sfarim that read it the same way. So. What? How would you not read it that way? Right? What do you mean? Meaning the Ritva, they're just two sides of the same coin. Read, I don't have the Ritva on me. Can you read it? You have it? Right. So don't say that since she became Potter, she's still Potter after the fact. Kamash Malan, that she goes back. So that's pretty much, you could definitely read that to be exactly like the Ran, no? The Ran, I lost it already. Anybody still on the Ran? Anybody turned to the Ran in the first place? Right. Meaning, because what was the Hava? Meaning that she would ever lose her Chiv. Meaning, what does the Gemara need to tell me that after the Ishus, she goes back? What do you mean goes back? Of course, whatever was holding her back before, isn't there anymore. See, if you're going to learn that it's all a din, it's all a din that just she's not able to, so there's no Hava Mina to tell you that she goes back. So you're saying, must be that she left the Rishus, and now she's going back into the Rishus for the purposes of these mitzvos. Don't say, oh, just like every other time when she has Nisuin, she never goes back, so too for this she never goes back. She does go back. What's the Divra Maschil? What's the previous state? You got to read it.
Even if
I would concede that that's how you read it, I still wouldn't change pshat in the Ran. I would say that's lo pokach yuvamina, meaning she was chayev and it calls man, but b'teris, you want to call b'teris dechuya, whatever it was. I understand how you're going to read it. I just don't see it. Okay. But what's the previous sentence saying? When she gets divorced, then she's back. Kamash Malan, she never left. That's not what it says. It says Kamash Malan, that she goes back, that her chiyuv never left her completely, because had it left her completely, she would not have to go back after she was divorced. So in Achinami, the Ram could be describing the mechanism by which she has to go back. He's describing the mechanism as being that since, if you would have said that she's not Bechlal in the Parsha of Kibbut Aveim anymore, so then she... Right. is no longer there.
In any event, the Ran and Rashi, they're both talking about Kibbutz.
Right.
As opposed to the Pasuk. Ran might be saying a whole new word, a whole new parsha. But you sent a paragraph to the parsha. He's not talking more. The Pharisee and the Ran are saying, you're not going
to be. Right. Right.
And the Ish was talking about Tiro.
Right.
So you could be talking about a whole new word. Tiro, you can say Ish is a drush, a high drush, or whatever it would be. There never was and never will be a drush of Ish regarding the parsha of the Kibbutz. So you said, in terms of practicality, when
a woman dies, you can't
do Kibbutz
so well, and then after she's divorced, she's not Tzorah. We've never said anything. See, the Maharish, then I cut all the cuts. I was going to say the exact opposite shot. In the Ran, is Megala on Rashi, that he holds the exact, that he holds much more like Tosfos. That the Lav Dafka part of Rashi is the part of her husband being Moche. Yachol, the husband is Yachol She'ein Moche B'yado, because there's no one who protests. Meaning, we're going on the husband there. So what does it mean? It means that every single time her father says to do something, she should just do it. And if her husband sees her doing it and says, don't do that, so she has to stop. No, it's telling you she's not in the rishus. And the fact that no one is going to be moche doesn't mean that the definition of rishus acheres aleha is that her husband is going to see her and try to stop her. The real diuk is nisgarsha mi baila. Why me baila? What me baila? Who else is going to be mezgarsha from? Mi reshus baila. Mi reshus baila. Mezgarsha mi baila means she leaves her husband's reshus. Now he's not the reshus that she's in anymore. Harehi ke'achav, a mitzvah's kibud. Now she goes back for mitzvah's kibud. Where are we talking about kibud? We're talking about more. Why are we talking about more? Because it's a general klal of reshus. She's out of the parsha somewhat. Maybe hutra, maybe dechuya, maybe, you know, practically she should try to chapois a little bit of kibbut avein when she can. I don't know. But the bottom line is, she's nisgarsha, she's out of the parsha of kibbut avein. She goes back into the parsha of kibbut avein. But that's much more meduk in all these weird words in Rashi. Nisgarsha mi baila? Who else she's going to have a gerushin from? It's talking about the reshus of her husband. Then she's ke'achav, and it's just kibbutz. She's just like everybody else. Meaning up until this point, she was not just like everybody else. No, you can't do better than that. That's the way you read Rashi.
There was two words he could use, reshus or violet, and there's only one important word. He used the one that was not important. He used violet. He didn't use the word reshus.
Okay. I can only read the words that Rashi wrote. I can't read the words that he didn't write. Okay, so then just cross it out. Okay. Yeah. What's Nisgarsha mi baila? What's Keach? What does he need to tell you any of that part of Rashi? Okay, that's not how I was brought up. As Rashi, then as short as Rashi is, he would have been a lot shorter. You know, if you see Rashi writing something that's blatant.
Sometimes it's funny because people need to understand the word of Yarsha is out of context, not allowing the citizen get them
now. See, he's playing off the previous Yeraskel. Rishus Acheris, Acherim is Baila. Nisgarsha mi Baila, which is code for what we just said, Rishus Acherim. When she leaves the Rishus Acherim, it flows beautifully. I don't know. I'm into it. Yeah. So don't get bogged down when I say out of the parsha. It's just a way for me to say. So you want to say the mechanism by which it stays is that she's never fully out of the parsha.
My question is, according to her, does she have a fee and now she just popped it from the fee, or that her fee was completely gone?
So that's a good question. Meaning, so we're going to have to work a little more on that. So now the next question that we have to bring up is so how far out of the parsha is she? So you might be tempted to say right away, well, she can't be that far out of the parsha, because if she was totally out of the parsha, why does she ever go back?
Or she would be able to do it. It says like sometimes if she has, like if there's a time her husband doesn't need her and she didn't know her father, she's able to know her father, so she's not completely out of it.
Right, meaning so. Pashtus is that there's a primary and a secondary, right? So there's a primary responsibility, And that's to her family, her new family. Right? She has a primary responsibility to her new family. And she has her achrayis to make sure that those things are taken care of. If she can help out her father also, sure she should help out her father. She should do whatever's possible to ensure that that's taken care of. Okay, that's one way you can read Rashi. Some would say it's not the right way. I'm asking that there is another way to read it. I just think you got to be a judge, not a lawyer. You got to say what you think makes sense. If you're going to argue, you know, if you're going to come in with decided already that, and I'm guilty of the same thing in this case, but if you're going to come in, you can read anything your way, but I just think this is how it reads better. Yeah.
Maybe it's like all the question, what's this up with your mitzvah? Like, are you planning to, like, do both if you can manage to do both?
Yeah, it's a similar idea. I don't think Osig B'mitzvah Patim and a mitzvah is totally in that as much as people want to say.
Like, if you think about it, she has obligation to her husband and to her father. Now, I would say, had it not been for the drasha of Ishmael Isha, then I would say that she's obligated to her father before her husband because that was the pre-existing chiyuv. So she's already Osig and Emmet, so I came to drasha to tell me otherwise.
You could argue further that that's the only chiyuv. Who says she has to do what her husband says?
That's a drasha.
Right? That, so you're saying, I've seen this written in some Achronim. You could say that the whole drasha of Ishim of Avtiro is to come to teach you in the first place that she's supposed to listen to her husband. The same way she used to listen to her father, she should listen to her husband. Enachinami. How else would you have known that she has to listen to what he says? He says, take out the garbage. She says, you take out the garbage. Right? Okay, so end of discussion. We're at a stalemate. Let me tell you something. The garbage is going to stay where it is until the husband takes it out. Selvi. So, the bottom line is who says she's supposed to listen? So you could say, Ishim of Aviv Tiro teaches us that just like if her father would have said, take out the garbage, her husband says, take out the garbage, she should do it. You know, but you could say such a thing, that's really the makor for all of it. So if you're saying that she leaves the Rishus, so you could argue, Tulsa's is saying, no. It's the definition, a lot being read into the Tosus. With a lot being read into the Tosus, Tosus could be saying, that's the definition of what Ishus is. Ishus means going to be a wife. A wife lives with her husband, and her primary obligation is to her new family. Right? That's the definition of Ishus. So it's inherent in all of the Yesodos of Ishus. You don't have to find one technical thing that she has to do, which is Megala Milsa, that she has to do everything for the new family, not the old family. Right? But you could also argue that no, you need an actual limud from the Torah to tell you this Maisa is Koveya. So you could say the limud from the Torah is the Dafka from Ish Imava of Tira. You could say such a thing. Yeah. Yeah, Inachinami.
We all of a sudden see the word Ishus. It must be it's her. It must be he's chayav and she's not chayav because she's a nuchi which we just created.
No, Inachinami. I wouldn't have said it on my own. Just he mentioned it, so he mentioned it. So I just wanted to point out that such a svar is on the books. No, I hear what you're saying. I wouldn't have said it on my own either. He mentioned the svar. So I just wanted to point out that there are those who write such a svar. It's not, you know, it's not completely out of left field.
Or else would it
be fine? Well, no. I mean, if you define that as her responsibility to her husband, meaning so the Torah was presupposing a responsibility to the husband, and this is a manifestation of it.
Right.
But
how did Torah make such a presupposition? Like, we need a source for the chiyuv now.
Yeah, because so you could say, like we're saying, that's the definition of Ishus.
But it is still kind.
That's Dolchak, yeah.
Right, so we need another source, what would it be?
I'm telling you the other source, meaning she's Meshubid to be a wife. Meaning the definitions of what Ishus is. The husband has certain obligations. She'eira kisusa va'onaso lo yigara. Right? So it says in the Torah, he has to give her she'er kisus va'ona. That's the chiyuvim daraisa. Midrabanan, they throw on a whole new host of chiyuvim. Right? And so too, the wife, what's her ikar chiyuv? Her ikar chiyuv is to be Isha Beveis Baila.
Where does it say that? That she has those obligations, though.
That's not an obligation. That's a Klaliistic obligation. Ki Yikach Ish Isha. right? And saying that, that there's a lekicha that goes on, right? There's a lekicha that goes on. So she was nikach for what? So he should be chayef to do sherek sus v'ona for her, and she shouldn't be around to receive it? She's just saying that it's a two-way street. Okay. Anyway, if you look in the Lashon of the Chinuch, it's not mashma the way we're reading the Tosfos. Right? If you look at the end of the mitzvah, Nohages b'chol makom b'chol zman b'zecharim u'v'nekevos kol zman she'efshalohem. Right? Kilomar b'chol eis shelo yimnu'u osan balein. That's much more mashma like Pashup Shad and Rashi. Right? Much more mashma on that it's noeg by women kol zman that their husbands shouldn't prevent them from doing it. So the husband is a case by case base, not a din in reshuyos. It's not a din in. It's a din in the husband should. If the husband says it, you know, wouldn't say anything against it. So mamela she's chayef to listen to her parents. But if the husband says something against it, then she's not. Then she doesn't have to do what her parents say. That's much more along the lines of regular macha from the husband than any type of changing in reshus. Similarly, I think I don't have the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos right in front of me. I could turn to it, but the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos is somewhat mashma that way as well. Right, you guys, anybody have it right in front of them? I think what you had a different girsa. You said in the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos has all kinds of girsos, right? Because the translations were very varied. Right, I think I have it by now. One second. So he's going through what's mitzvah, what's mora, what's kavod. Right, so he says, v'ala nekevo, alabonim v'ala nekevos kulam sheyasu osam la'aviyem. They have to do it for their parents. Ela imhoisa ha'isha bu'ulas ba'al. She'ein chiyav aleha mitores kavod ela masha efshar biyad alasos mipnei iskav iske bala hamachuyavin la mitores hazivug lefi mashin is bar b'ksuvus. So he says that she's still chayiv to do as much as she can unless it flies in the face of her chiyuvim to her husband. What did you have that was different than that? That's not so bad. Ain chiyuv ala mitoras hakavod. Ela masha efshar biyada. Yeah, I would have said. I don't think that changes the pshat.
It's very much chal because if she's chayiv, it's that she's a patur when she's not efshar.
When she doesn't need to go crazy, she's not chayiv.
So we're not
trying to
make part of
nothing.
It exists. It just the
chiyuv
goes away.
Yeah,
other cases.
All right,
just read the rest of the sentence. Okay. So, and even that, I don't think he's changing the ikar pshat. Ein chiyuv aleha mitoras hakavod is pretty similar to that as well.
Right?
So either way, I think it's mashma that it's not about the husband Dafka saying something, but it's about her primary versus her secondary obligations. Her primary obligations are to her new family. Her secondary obligations are to her old family. It's like you said, you could say there's no din efshel kaim shneim there. She doesn't have to try to do both. But it's a change in it's a shift in mindset. It's a shift in mindset of these are my real obligations in life. My real obligations in life are to my husband, to my children, you know, to make sure that my new family is well cared for. And my secondary obligations, if I can also help out my parents when I'm available to do so, I should. But that's not your primary responsibility. So that doesn't sound exactly like the chinuch. The chinuch seems to say that it's only if it's going to literally fly in the face of what your husband wants. It doesn't say, it says, Kolomar b'chol eish shelo yimnu'u oson ba'alein. If your husband doesn't say the word no, as opposed to, right, if your chiyuve ishus, don't say the word no. Right, if the actual basic obligations of marriage don't prevent you from doing it. It doesn't say the basic obligations of marriage. He says that your husband. Right, so it sounds like there's a human being standing in front of you with a stop sign saying stop, as opposed to you know, the Rambam, who seems to say that it's about which how you prioritize your chiyuv. No, you don't think that's true either? You're not it?
I think it's 100% like the same. It's interesting. If a person has the obligation to do something, as long as they're able to do something, it's very hard to talk about it when they're not able to do it. There's a mitzvah doesn't exist. That's not how mitzvah works. It doesn't turn out at all. It doesn't exist in
my time.
It's when he can do it.
Can you at least be motivated? The words are very different. Okay. Okay.
I don't just be telling a story. I'm not familiar with mitzvahs that turn on and off. This type one and the Rav Chanan is such a very fantasy of the Talmud Torah. It's hard to find such a mitzvah like that makes any sense. Where when you can do it, you're chayav. You can't do it. The mitzvah just doesn't make sense. The Torah.
I mean, you have to admit that there are a lot of decent similarities between Kibbutz Avim and the Chiyuv Talmud Torah. We talk about Efshel Asos on Adei Acherim. We talk about... Saying the words lead me to think the Rambam is saying one thing and the Chinuch is saying something else. That's just, I got to read the words that are in front of me. I can't allow what I want. Whatever.
What would be your
nafkamina case between them is the woman's allowed to make a cheshbon and say, I have the following things to accomplish this week. Right? I have to try to accomplish it this week. And I budgeted out my time. I made a list. And today I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do this. And then your father calls you up and says, I want you to drive me to the airport. I want you to drive me to the airport this morning. The wife is allowed to say, I can't drive to the airport this morning because my priorities state that I'm supposed to be doing this this morning. Do it later. I don't have to do it later. I can do my priorities right now. I don't need to call my husband and say, listen, I was planning on doing this, but my father wants me to drive into the airport. So can I drive to the airport and that this will go undone or this I'll have to do later? You know, doesn't have to say such a thing. She can just say, Dad, I'm really sorry. I love you very much. But I can't drive to the airport today because I have other responsibilities. It sounds from the Chinuch that she would say, listen, no, I don't have any direct tzivui telling me at this time of day, you better not drive your father to the airport. I don't have, my husband's not standing there telling me don't do that. My husband will say, all right, you can work your schedule around it if you want. The Rambam says that Kolzman, that it's not, she's not chayiv Kolzman, that it flies in the face of her marital duties.
All right, but if she has to like do errands for her husband, she could do those later. So it's not flying in the face of her obligations to her husband.
The chayiv is not on her at that moment to try to drive herself crazy to do both. She decided that her marital duties are going to take place at such and such a time and such a place, and her father wants her at a different place at that time. She's not chayiv to do that.
Right, that's because she decided to make her time to do it then.
Because normal people make times when they're going to do things. That's how normal people act. So she's allowed to act like a normal married person. She doesn't have to say that, like, well, when's dinner going to get... We're going to eat dinner sometime tonight before I go to sleep. When is that going to be? It depends when my parents call me and tell me. So my parents call me at 6:30 in the evening when my kids are hungry and they're ready to. So my parents call me and say, come over right now. We need you to take out the garbage. You know? So I'm not going to pick myself up and go. It's my family has the right to eat at 6:30. You know, they don't have to, I don't have to say like, no, it calls mom that I can go to sleep at night saying I did all my jobs on my list that my kids have the right to eat at 6:30. I don't have to.
How much could they ask of you already? How much could they bother you already?
It shouldn't bother you. You should love doing it.
They live in New Jersey, you live in New York, and they say, okay, drive all the way over here so you like to get the garbage. I mean, like, it's a bit ridiculous now.
Sounds a little ridiculous, but.
Is there like, are there parameters to how much you have to.
They're commanded not to do such a thing to you. So. They're commanded, it's sort of lifnei iver. It's an issue for them of lifnei iver to try to ask you to do things like that.
They can't command like who you marry. So like,
no, but that's a little different. Pashtus is they're allowed to ask you to do things like that. Kol zman that you're able to do it, but they're not allowed to command you to do it because it's an issue of lifnei iver because you're just gonna stop listening after a while, and you're just not gonna do it. So they're obligated not to do that to you, but it sounds from the fact that they're obligated not to do that to you that they're allowed to do it to you. I'm sorry, they would be allowed, that you're mechuyev to listen if they did it to you. Okay, there's a lot more to say. We're gonna move a little bit forward. We'll do the lashon of the poskim, see how it plays out, and tomorrow we'll see when the next shiur is going to be, either tomorrow or Tuesday morning, and then just start the next set of makoros about what is the nature overall of this chiyuv. What is the chiyuv of a wife to give kavod to her husband in the first place? Meaning, so we talked about it a little bit today about it. Maybe it's a din in rishus. Maybe it's a din in other words. But what is this din kavod as it pertains to other cases? You know, we're going to start with the psak. You know, that if your father tells you to do one thing and your mother tells you to do the opposite, so the halacha is you're supposed to listen to your father first. And why is that? And how that plays out in other situations. All right, we'll get to it.